So it was out of envy that this person saw what they were doing. He could see that they were doing this because they were envious. It wasn't because of sin that they were envious. You know, you and I, we don't usually often look at sin and go, "Oh, I'm envious of sin. Look at what they're doing. You know, that's appealing or attractive to me." Because if the Spirit of God lives inside of us, when we look at sin, we're disgusted. We're appalled. We don't desire that. We don't, you know, long for sin. But what was happening here was something that was good, something that was a blessing. And this person saw that and was envious of blessing. Wow, that's just interesting to look at it in that way. Now, I don't know how you grew up. When I grew up in Prince Rupert, my parents worked hard. My dad worked at BC Packers Fish Plant. My mother was a lawyer. She was a lawyer in family court law. So you can imagine what that brought. You know, every conversation that she had was around, you know, struggles and divorce and separation. That's what she did day in and day out. So my dad worked a lot and my mother was a lawyer. And I don't, that seemed like, that should be like a lot of money. It just felt like when I was a kid, we didn't have a ton of money. So when I looked at other people, when I looked at other relationships that I had in my life, my parents eventually divorced. So when I saw friends of mine that had two people, a mom and a dad that loved each other and loved their kid, I was envious and jealous of that. I thought, why did I get the shaft? And why did they get so blessed? And I can remember going over to friends' houses, and this might be where I have, not an obsession, that's a pretty hard word, but I just really felt like, oh, that's probably where that root is. When you come to my house, if you come downstairs and you're to watch a movie, it feels like you're in the movie theater. I've got surround sound and, you know, 5-point this and 500 watts of that, and all of a sudden, boom, you're like, yeah. Now this is how we should be watching movies, right? It's just the way that God designed it for us, right? Technology, it's got to be from the Lord. Sure, I like that, yeah. So when I was a young kid and I went to my friends' houses that had these items, man, dartboards, pool tables, swimming pools, I was pretty envious and jealous and thought, man, you have it so good. Look at all the stuff you have. And I wonder if there's a bit of a root in me and a desire in me to do the same for my kids. To think that that is maybe something to obtain towards. That if I could provide that for them, things will work out. I want you to know how crazy I am about this. Last night I was here, I was just really wrestling through this message, as I usually do, but it was 1 o'clock when I left here. And I'm not saying this to my own Pastor Rob, you know. I'm just telling you this so understand what was happening. So I was just working on it, and then I went home. And I've been waiting for weeks for it to rain so I could put down some weed killer on my grass, because it's got to be wet and you got to put it down, and then it's supposed to rain a few days later. So finally last night it was raining. I thought, yes, at 1 o'clock in the morning, I am weeding, like putting down fertilizer, weed killer, you know, the windows opened, you know, to the bedroom for my wife. I thought, oh my gosh, I hope she doesn't hear. Go slow by the window. And then I'm like running. I'm running around my yard. I got my jacket on and my hood. I'm running around my yard. I'm thinking, the heck am I doing? Why am I doing this? Because I can remember being envious as a kid of people's yard, you know, just all pristine, you know, and I'm not a perfectionist at all, as you probably wouldn't tell. But I don't like weeds. I like green grass. I want to be able to play on it. You know, here's my spin-off, right? This is my sales pitch. You know, my son the other day, he stepped on a clover and the bee stung him. That's why I have to get all the weeds out, right? For that one situation. So sometimes we go to just crazy extremes. Why do we do that? Why do we spend so much time on those things? Is it really producing anything? Is it really changing anything? Is it what people, is it what our kids, what people around us need to see? Man, that really just strikes a chord inside of me. So let's flip to Mark chapter 7. So I've been doing my devotions in Matthew, and I've just finished that, and I'm moving into Mark, and this is where I read this, and it really just, oh, just. So Mark chapter 7, verse 21. It says here, for from within, out of man's hearts, come, and there's a list of things, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, and adultery, top five things there. And if we were to read the same story, and this is where it resonated with me, I was in Matthew chapter 15. You can flip there if you want. We're going to come back to Mark in a second. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 says this, and it's again, it's the same story through Matthew's eyes. He says this, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, and theft." Top five things again. Those are the first five things out of the mouth that these guys share with. And you would probably agree with me. You would think, "Pastor, those are wrong. You know, you don't need to come to church and have somebody tell you that those are wrong. We see that the law is set up that way, and we see probably you would feel convicted. You're going to go around and kill somebody, murder? You're going to recognize that that's not right. Even if we didn't have the police around and didn't have rules around that were set out, that are written down, there's a rule written on your heart, isn't there? You know the Ten Commandments. It's hardwired in. You would say, those kind of things are wrong, Pastor. But let's finish Mark chapter 7, verse 22, because this is what just struck a chord in me. Yes, those things are bad, and it's listed with them. Watch what it goes on to say. Greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and oh my word. That's what, you know, kind of woke me up there. I have those kind of things sometimes. And we look at the first five and we go, I don't have any of that kind of stuff. That's crazy. You know, those are like the top five. Those are the big sins. But are these less sins? Are these like not as equal? Or you know, see the way it's listed there. And if we go back to Matthew as he finishes his thoughts, false testimony and slander. So if we have any of those kind of things, we're in sin. And envy can be one that just is like a, you know, it's just there, it's just little, just kind of poking at you, and you don't think about it very much. You think, well, I'm pretty good, but, you know, you have in the back of your mind, there's these thoughts that are coming, and they take us away from God. I'm going to show you why I think it's so, so important, it's so critical. And if you ever thought, as I shared with you this morning, have you ever thought about a person that is maybe doing better than you, whether, you know, whether it's in, and I'm going to be silly here, but whether it's in, like, looks, or finances, or, you know, spiritually, or, you know, their kids act better than your kids, or, I mean, you just, the list can go on and on and on. And is that a root of envy or jealousy in some capacity? And if it is, we really, really, really got to deal with that. We got to get that out, because there's no comparison. I want to show you some great scriptures that are going to back up this. Because what happens when we do that is that we begin to say to God, we say, God, since you haven't provided in this way for me, you haven't got me the 80-inch TV, and you haven't got me the grass without any weeds, because you haven't provided that for me, I desire it. And if I had that, then I would be better off. So what is that doing? You're putting that thing as an idol before God. And God says we should have zero idols. We should not have anything before our God. Oh, that resonates with me. Can you feel that? You sense that? We cannot allow those things to come in and set up camp in our lives. We got to just be content and happy and praise God for every situation. Yeah, thanks. Easy sell for me, right? Do you know what I'm going through? Have you walked in my shoes? We can easily say that time and time again, but we have to make sure we look at it in the right light. Don't ever let that stand before your God. Don't envy anything before him. Two more stories around this thought. So in Acts chapter 5, we read of the disciples after Jesus is gone. Jesus gives them the Holy Spirit, and the disciples are now doing and acting like Christ, what Jesus did as well. They're going around, all the disciples, the church is growing, they're healing people, good things are happening. And the people look at that situation and watch how they respond. So in Acts chapter 5, verse 17, it says this, "Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with praise." They were like, oh, thank God we got more people on our team doing the will of God, saving people and blessing people and growing things. We've got more team players. Is that the terminology it uses here? Absolutely not. I mean, it's on the screen, so that kind of gave a hint away, but The people saw that and they were envious and jealous of that situation. And they begin to think like they thought about Jesus Christ, we see here. And if we were to continue to read the story, it would say that the disciples said that what we've been instructed by God, we're doing what God's called us to do, and I can't be, how you respond is up to you. Then it says here, with the wind of the Holy Spirit showing up here, in verse 33, when they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Have we heard that kind of terminology before? You know, when Jesus was doing the things that he was doing, their people were jealous and envious, and they wanted to put him to death. So the same thought comes here again. You know, they were furious. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, and I love this gentleman because if you look at that word there, if you take off the first and last, it's my wife's name in the middle in verse 33, maybe 34, sorry. He would go on to say, this gentleman would go on to say that they've faced this before. So at the time, people would rise up, they would start doing great things, and the people would get jealous and frustrated at them. And then through a season of time, the people would just die off, and the big fad or the thing that was like catchy or, you know, a thing for the day or it was trendy, it would just pass away, this gentleman would say. But he finishes the thought like this in verse 38. This is what he says to the people, the high priests and the associates that are jealous, the Sadducees, they're jealous of what was happening. He said this to them in verse 38. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Oh, don't ever let us be fighting against our God. Don't ever let us put things in front of our God. Let us have relationship with God and be completely satisfied in his presence and be thankful for every situation. As tough as that sounds, most of you have heard tons of my story and at Church of the Park, I'm so glad you came back after hearing, you know, even more of my story. But thank God that he can use every situation, even as tough as the ones you heard me share with you. So have you ever been furious at God for the situation or the circumstances? Maybe we're jealous or envious of another person's blessing. Isn't that hard to think about, eh? When you think about somebody else being blessed and used by God, and then we become envious or jealous of what God is doing in and through them. And we just read it right here, how people's hearts get changed by that. Let me just finish that thought. So out of envy, they said this. So in Matthew chapter 27, I was sharing with you, again, I was going to lay the foundation as the sermon developed. And in Matthew chapter 27, what I read to you was that Pilate recognized that the people were envious. The religious leaders were envious of Jesus. Pilate, who's the governor, he's in charge, he looks at the religious people and he says, "You people are envious of Jesus, and that's why you brought him here to be killed." He can see that. Now, please don't point each other out and don't judge each other, but sometimes you can see that in one another, can't you? When somebody's being envious or jealous, or, you know, you've been in your workplaces, you've been in your schools, you've been around, you can see, you're like, well, that person is really jealous. Look at the way they're talking about that situation. So Pilate can see that crystal, crystal clear. And watch what the people go on to say, because when we're envious and jealous, we put God in front of, we put these idols, sorry, in front of our God. We do things like this. This is what they said in verse 25. Let his blood be on us and our children. Ouch. Man, that hurts. When we're in sin, that's what put him to the cross. When we're envious and jealous, that's what brought him to the cross. And there are consequences for that. But thank God that he went to the cross when we turn to him. But let's not be far from him. Let's get right with him. Let me share a third thought around envy and jealousy. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, it says this. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He has made the two one. This almost sounds like we're at a wedding. The two shall become one. And this is what God has done for us. We shall become one in body, one in spirit. The family of God is one unit. We work together. And that's wonderful to think about. And the world can only get so close to each other, but as Christians, we have a greater connection. Now, when people, I don't know your experience, so again, 23 years of my life, the first 23 years of my life, I was not saved. Okay, full of sin, doing all kinds of, you know, just terrible things. And this one gentleman I remember, his name was Dave McPhee. He's a pastor now in Quesnel at a Baptist church. And I'm going to visit him at some point. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And we were working in a construction crew, and there was about 12 workers. And for whatever reason, Dave just stood out. Not what he said, not how, you know, how he looked, not anything. There was just something that was I desired. I was almost envious or jealous. I thought, what is it that gentleman has? And I didn't find out till later that he was a Christian. He didn't present that. We didn't start off, you know, coming with the Bible and thumping everybody in the head with the Bible. He just lived it. He acted it. He just was, it's just the way, and I desired that. I thought, what is that about him? Because there's a connectedness, that there's a way to have relationship with people that the world cannot offer. It's fake. The devil cannot reproduce this. When you're connected to God and you have a right thought and a right motive towards God, there is a relationship that's within you to be one with all people. Now, I know tons of people, and I used to be this way, like, well, I can't be friends with that guy, or I can't be friends with this kind of person, or because I don't understand them. But when you have God inside of your life, he says that we should all become one. We should all be able to connect with one another. That should be genuine. It should be something that you can almost feel. And when I came to church for the very first few times, I just bawled and I weep like a baby. Because there was just something there that was just so real. It was like I had been searching for 23 years to find it, and I'd finally found that thing. Have you ever gone on a journey for 23 years to find something? Let's think about, here in Terrace, it makes sense. You go looking for berries. After 23 minutes, if I haven't found berries, I'm out of here. You know, I'm not, what? You know, if we're going to go fishing at a fishing hole, and we spent 23 seconds, and there's nothing, we're moving on. There's no fish here. But for 23 years, I was searching for something. And when I found it, it was like, oh, finally, here it is. And here we are, right here. You found it. Do you feel that? Do you sense it? I remember when I walked into that church that day, I was just like, it was like an emotion I had never felt before. A feeling I had never felt before. Tons of you have said that to me. When you come to this church, I've asked you about this church. You know, I'm new, you know, 8 months or so. I say, why do you come to this church? It was actually a question I asked. Kathy, you would remember this during the search committee. You guys asked me a million questions. I said, I got to ask a few. You know, I had to look like I knew what I was doing or something. So I asked the question. I said, why TPA? Why do you come to Terrace Pentecostal? What is it? And you shared those kind of thoughts. We feel the presence of God. We feel like we're family. We feel like we're connected. See, the world cannot have that. Only Christ and Christian people have that relationship and that connectedness. Why is that so important? Let's finish the verse here. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, we just covered that, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. This is where it's so important. This is just, oh, this is so good. These maps. Do you ever look at those? My kids like always flip to that. Oh, it looks so fun. My map is almost falling out now. But these maps are here for a reason. Don't ever just flip through them. It's so good. So if we look at the temple in Jerusalem, we've got a snapshot, like a blueprint kind of vision here. We're looking at the temple. We see that there's the inner court, the Holy of Holies, the court for the priests. Then we see the next court is the court for Israel, the court for the Israelites, the court for God's chosen people. Then we see the court from the Gentiles. The Gentiles couldn't go into the court of Israel or into where the priests were. They were outside. And then there was the court for the women. Okay, so women could, you know, come here. They couldn't go over there. You couldn't go to Israel. They couldn't go to, you know. Okay, so it was set up like that. And what, remember when God died, we read this and we say this so often, we say that when Jesus Christ died, there was an earthquake, he smashed the temple to pieces, and that the Holy of Holies became available for all of us. The veil, this veil, this separation was torn, so Holy Spirit, you and I can get that. Brilliant. I'm so thankful for that. But do you know what else happened? And I don't know why the women didn't just ride with this back then, but here we go. Way back, this is thousands of years ago. The court for the women, the court, the separation for the Gentiles, the court for the separation for the God's chosen people, smashed. Amen. Nothing. Amen. So they were all together. Because back then they wouldn't fellowship together. They would have their own little individual places. So again, status-wise, you know, gender-wise, where you got the right bloodline, the right finances, have you paid off the right person? No, it's all gone. So when you and I sit here together, the dividing wall of hostility is gone. So that we can have connection like none other. Amen. It's just brilliant to think like that. So again, they were probably envious. They were probably jealous. You know, you're sitting in the Gentile court and you're watching all these kind of, oh yeah, snooty guy gets to go in there, right? You know? And you're probably, as a woman, you're thinking like, you know, we got to be on the outer court. Like, what's going on here? That doesn't make sense to me, you know? Again, all of that is now gone. It goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, and in him you two are being built together to become, it's not even on the screen, this is going to be so good, you don't know what I'm going to say, a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And in him you two are being built together. As we're being built together, we become what? Cool? Do we become hip? Do we become like, you know, the best church in Terrace? What are we becoming? What are we doing here? Why are we doing this? A dwelling in which God lives by his Holy Spirit. We want to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. And if we have any kind of sin, any kind of envy or jealousy within us, God says it's hard for his Spirit to live there, to rest there, to set up camp there. And as you and I, please, it's you and I, it's together, it's all of us. It isn't, oh, Pastor Rob, you know, woohoo, he'll get it together for us, or it's, oh, the worship team, or the elect prayer team, or, you know, the Sunday school teachers. There isn't any status here, please. We are together on this. And as we all do our part, as we all deal with our sin, we all have it. Crikey, I have more sin than all of you put together, for crying out loud, right? All the stuff that I've walked through, all the things that I've done, all the things that I continue to keep learning. So together, though, just like a communion, keep working at it. Be patient, be kind, you know, keep following God. When you stumble, it's okay. Then, for crying out loud, pick your friend up. Don't kick him. Say, yeah, you sinner, you look at, see, I told you, you've been a sinner the whole time. You know, bring, like, we're together on this. Never put yourself on a higher pedestal. Please don't ever hear that. We see time and time again the disciples, when they came to Jesus, they said, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And he said, the servant and the least of you will be the greatest in heaven. Let us be servants. Let us not shoot low, not like that, but let us come humbly. Let us come low to God. Don't come with any arrogance or pride or like, this is actually a Calvin Klein shirt. It's really nice. I got it from Hudson's Bay. Like, don't ever think, well, yeah, now that I got the right clothes on, you know. Like, never, please, let's not be like that. Let's be, I'm just going over it again and again, sorry. But it's so important we get this. This is the driving, you know, meat part of the message. Very last thought here. Romans chapter 11. Don't you love the Bible? Don't you love Scripture when you see it? You're like, oh, yeah, isn't that wonderful to think about? Romans chapter 11. Here we go, verse 11. 11, 11, that's good. And again I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Have you and I sinned and stumbled and made so many mistakes that we're beyond recovery? You may have felt that, because I sure have. When you fall, have you ever stumbled like, oopsie, sin? Where's the enemy? He's like sitting on you on the same time. You are a sinner. You are no good. You're useless. I told you you're going to screw it up. We got those thoughts. It's okay. It's how you respond to those thoughts, though. You say, devil, check out. I'm not receiving that. I'm not going to hear that anymore, because the Word of God says what? The Word of God says this. Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. Because of sin and all this kind of stuff, salvation comes for you and I. And others may be envious or jealous of our salvation and our witness. And, you know, have you ever said somebody, or somebody would say to you, like, I can't believe how you're handling that situation. You should be stressed out and worried and freaking out and losing your mind. What's wrong with you? And you think, well, I don't know. It's just there's something living inside of me that looks on the greater side, the better side of things. Why don't you agree with me that this guy is a bozo? Well, because I believe that that person may be a bozo today, but I think there's purpose for that and that God could use them later on in life. We don't join those conversations. See, there's something different inside of us. You know, we look around, and it would be so easy to just point out all of our mistakes. And what Paul is saying here, if we were to just look deep into what he's meaning, what's the truth behind that thing, is that Paul is having a vision of a church. We're all Jew, we're all Gentile, we're all nations, ethnicity, social status, any kind of background has come together to worship God. That's what he is envisioning way back then, thousands of years ago. And when we sit here today, it's almost like a fulfillment of what he was envisioning. So let us be of like mind. Let us encourage each other. Let us keep building each other up. Let's not be envious of things that you do not have. Can you be satisfied with what God has given you? That's all there is, right? You can't change those things. You have to realize that God is good. He has good things in store for you. He wants to bless the heck out of you. But let's have a right perspective and a right thought process through that. Amen. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and we're going to have the worship team come forward this morning. God, we thank you for these moments. We cherish this time that we get to just bask in your presence. We get to open your word together. We get to worship you. We get to remember what you did for us on the cross this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. God, would you give us a desire for your word every day? Would you help us to be on our knees in prayer for ourselves personally, for situations around us, for our family? God, would you bless this church? We want to be used by you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you, let's stand this morning, let's continue in worship. And at the front, I know I had the communion elements here, and usually we have Bibles there. So if you're here this morning and you don't even have a word of God to take home with you, please come and find me. I would love for you to have one. It's the greatest gift that we could give you as a church.